here. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferris. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, have you been forgetting important birthdays or things you needed at the grocery store? The pandemic could be impacting your ability to remember stuff. We get the details from a Wisconsin researcher. First, the economic recovery continues after the big hit last year from the pandemic. But there are concerns about the risk of inflation getting too high, with lots of government relief spending and as pent-up demand drives up prices for lots of goods. In April, overall prices were up 4.2%. It's compared to April 2020, though, when the economy was reacting to the unexpected global pandemic. So is inflation on the way? How much? And what does it mean for you, what you pay for stuff, and how you save for the future? You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been watching inflation levels? Do you have retirement plans that you're wondering about in the midst of possible inflation? Have you seen prices rise on something important to you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Taylor Tepper is senior financial analyst with Forbes Advisor. He's a personal finance journalist who's covered a range of financial topics in New York Times, Newsweek, Fortune, and elsewhere. Taylor, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Economics 101, Taylor, remind us what we mean when we say inflation.
Inflation is basically what prices do over time, right? So what we're talking about now is that the prices of certain goods, services are different than where they were a month ago or a year ago. And so you want prices to rise a little bit. You don't want prices to rise too slowly, or you don't want prices to like rise way too much. You want sort of that Goldilocks price rise. That sort of helps the economy go and helps employment and help businesses and sort of good juice for everybody. And so that's what everyone's sort of worried about now. It's how much inflation is happening now, how long will it be here for, and when will it go back to normal?
What's the joke about economists having so many hands? It seems like there's a lot of on one hand, on the other hand, on my third hand, and so on. How do you sort out? Yeah, definitely some prices are going up, but we're coming out of a really weird economy. How do you sort out the inflation we're seeing now and whether it's here to stay?
So yeah, I think it's really good for your listeners to think about and remember back to where we were before, like you mentioned. Like, you know, prices went into a nosedive. And if you're comparing prices now in a recovering economy to back then, they're going to be higher. Like, you all are in Wisconsin. You didn't lose very many Packer football games last year. If you trade Aaron Rodgers, you're going to lose a lot more games. Your loss inflation will go up. It's sort of that thing. You're comparing two different bases. And so yeah, so when it comes to this kind of stuff, I just right now the Fed is saying that this higher inflation is transitory. Transitory is sort of the buzzword that economists and Fed governors and regional Fed presidents are saying. They think this is going to be transitory. What transitory means is sort of different to each one of those people, whether it's a few months or through the end of the year, as Treasury Secretary Yellen just said today. So that's sort of what people are worried about. And the reason people are sort of worried about inflation is because eventually the Fed might have to do stuff to bring inflation down. So right now, interest rates are at basically zero. The Fed is buying $120 billion worth of bonds each month to get the economy going. And that's sort of helping the employment situation improve because we still have a lot more people unemployed now than we did before the pandemic hit. And so people are worried that if inflation gets out of control, if it spirals up, you know, if we get this 1970s, you know, flashback and it's no good and everyone hates that, the Fed is going to have to raise rates. That's going to hurt employment and that's going to cause a lot of economic pain. So that's sort of like the angst going on right now.
And then there's concern when the federal government spends a lot of money and when interest rates are low, which they have been pretty much since the Great Recession, that can be inflationary. That can raise inflation. How much are people looking at the latest relief spending, possibility of more infrastructure spending, and saying that could make inflation, maybe it could push it past that sweet spot?
Yeah, this is sort of a roiling debate right now in like the economic nerd world. You have former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers talk about how, you know, all this spending is going to lead to higher inflation. You have you know, the Fed right now and people who sort of support the Fed saying, we've got this under control. There's a huge, you know, economic pain that was involved with the shutdowns, and we need to help people get back into employment. And so we're not too worried about this. So that's sort of the debate right now. How much will all this unprecedented federal spending, it wasn't just, you know, it's not just the money that the government put in with all these different relief bills. It's also a lot of the money that's sort of sitting on the sidelines that, you know, millions of households have saved a lot more money either through the direct payments they got from the stimulus checks or from just not spending things as they normally would because of the economic lockdowns. So there's all this sort of money sitting on the sidelines that's going to be spent, and people don't really know, you know, what's going to happen to inflation once that does. I would say for your listeners, the sort of conventional wisdom right now is that inflation will be somewhat higher than we're sort of used to, and it will sort of go back down to more normal levels towards the end of this year and into next year. And it's important to remember, and you said this before, that inflation was too low. It was below the Fed's target level. The Fed wants 2% price increases, wants 2% inflation. That's sort of that's the Goldilocks number for them. And it was consistently below that number for the past 12 years, right after the Great Recession. You know, I'm sure your listeners know that, you know, remember, have like a visceral feeling of the economy really slowly recovering after the Great Recession. Like, it took a long time for home prices to get back. It took a long time to sort of make up for all that lost income when they lost jobs. That was a very devastating moment in our country. And the relief bill that was passed back then, it was huge, but it paled in comparison to what was just spent over this past year. And so it took a long time to get back to sort of normal economic growth. And over that 10, 12 year period, there was higher unemployment than was needed. That's sort of the argument from the Fed. Because we were too worried about inflation, we were too quick to raise interest rates, that caused businesses to not grow as fast, it caused businesses to not hire as quickly. So that's sort of the needle that the Fed is trying to thread. You know, we want people to get back to having a robust job market. Maybe we can push down unemployment even further than we thought. You know, it was 3.5% before the pandemic hit. We can do that without causing this insane inflation, and that would help just a lot of normal people keep their jobs. So these are sort of the debates going on inside the eggheads in the Fed.
Talking to Taylor Tepper, senior financial analyst with Forbes Advisor, talking about inflation likely going up in the short term. How long is the short term? How big a deal is it? You can join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Phil is with us in Linden Station. Phil, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What are you seeing out there, Phil?
Well, I think that the inflation's already here. What's happening in the housing market, we just sold our home for tens of thousands of dollars more than I thought the home was ever worth. Now we got to replace the home. But when the price of the home goes up, so does the cost of the insurance, because insurance is based on how much would it cost to replace your home if it burned down. Well, with the price of lumber, 3 and 4 times what it was last year, that's going to drive that market high. But also the prices of cars. Car dealerships can't keep cars in. They say it's 6-8 months if you want to order a new car. Prices are high there. The cost of food has gone up dramatically since in the last 6 months. Gasoline is high. I don't think there's a question about when or if. It's about how long is this hyperinflation going to last.
Phil, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. We've had conversations on this show, Taylor, about a lot of those specific topics, homes and cars in particular, lumber too. It's like being weird supply and demand things driven in part, but maybe not completely by the pandemic and the recovery therefrom.
Yeah. First, congratulations for selling your home.
Yeah, good luck with buying the new one.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to get that van life. You got to get back to the earth. Yeah. So look, there's a couple things going on. What was happening with the stuff I was mentioning before is true, but what your caller was mentioning is also true. So when the Fed talks about inflation, you also hear them talk about supply chains, right? so that a lot of what we're turning the economy back on, but it takes a long time to get, you know, the engine going. It takes a long time for the car to warm up, you know, after being in this winter for so long. And so you're going to see some weird stuff going on. You know, car companies, a lot of weird stuff was happening with cars last year. Like a lot of rental car places, you know, lowered their fleet numbers, that saturated the market. Now they don't have as many used cars to sell. That's causing car prices to go up. There's this chip shortage because, you know, new car manufacturers didn't think they would need cars. And so there's a lag time between the order when those things are built. And that causes a dearth of supply for new cars. And that's why it's going to take a long time for your caller to get a new car. So there are like the spending that we talked about before, but there's also just the natural getting the engine running that's going to take a little bit of time to work through. And the Fed has talked about that too. On home prices and the like, yeah, home prices are, it's interesting. That was something that was happening before the pandemic. You know, I've written stories about this, you know, before the pandemic hit. It's sort of been a long running issue that we aren't building enough homes. There aren't enough homes for sale. And it's what's going on with that is a very complicated question. And no one really has a full answer to it. Is it that there are too many investors coming in to snatch up homes and rent them out? Is it that people are aging in their homes longer? And so those types of homes aren't getting onto the market more, and there isn't that supply. You know, millennials, my generation, pushed off having kids, and that has meant that they've needed homes later on in life. So it's just a lot of things going on with that. So I would say that when it comes to homes, that's sort of a long running issue. There needs to be, hopefully people will start building more homes, and that will help with the amount of supply available. Also, so I think like, and I think those things will sort of take time to work through. But yeah, there's always inflation. When you talk about inflation too, you know, you sort of talk about the Fed and supply and demand and all this, you know, esoteric stuff. But when you are living life and you see college, you know, I have two kids and another one on the way, and I have to save for college, and that's expensive and higher than inflation. So it's weird to me as a parent who's saving for college to hear the Fed say inflation is low, because I know like these big things like colleges are getting, healthcare getting more and more expensive. So when the Fed talks about inflation, what it's talking about are sort of the entire basket of goods. It's talking about everything. And it's the metric that it looks at most as most sort of dependable as a gauge of where prices are going. It excludes gas prices and it excludes food prices because those things are volatile. You know, when the pandemic hit, you know, oil prices went, I live in Texas, oil prices went in the tank. You know, a lot of people lost their jobs because it just did not become profitable to get, you know, gas out of the ground. So prices, you know, so if we were talking this time last year, we'd be talking about a huge deflation in gas. Same thing with food. A lot of food prices went down. So it sort of depends on the time range you're looking at, what's going on. But when the Fed talks about inflation, it's talking about a huge basket of goods, and it's sort of stripping out the more volatile things that bounce around from year to year. But obviously that's cold comfort if you are buying, you know, brats right now and it's 5% more expensive than it was last month. So I completely understand.
Thanks for the call, Phil. We're talking to Taylor Tepper, senior financial analyst with Forbes Advisor, looking at what's going on with the economic recovery and inflation. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about inflation, how it works? Are you worried about it? Do you feel like it's affecting your daily life, expenditures big or small, or savings? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Taylor Tepper, senior financial analyst at Forbes Advisor. He's been keeping an eye on inflation and what it might mean for your wallet. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What confuses you, if anything, about inflation? Are you worried about it right now? Call 800-642-1234. I want to give a listen, Taylor, to Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson on WKOW here talking about inflation, especially as it relates to wages.
Commodities go up and down, and you can have temporary increases in prices. It'll come back down, whether it's gas prices or lumber prices or resin prices. Increases in wage rates ratchet up, and that creates permanent inflation. So you may feel good about getting a 5 or 6 or 7% raise, but if general inflation is 6, 7, or 8%, that increase is just completely wiped out.
So, Taylor, there's talk at least that people are able to get more money for working, and there's concerns in some industries that they're not finding enough workers and have to bump up wages. How big a worry is that, as Senator Johnson there says, when it comes to inflation, though?
So I would say two things. One, it's going to be hard to convince people that getting a raise is a bad thing. So God bless Senator Johnson on that. I think, secondly, the Federal Reserve and economists generally don't expect inflation to hit 6, 7, 8%. They expect over the long run for inflation to dip back down closer to 2%, which is where we've been. And I think one thing for your listeners to keep in mind, and well, to give the senator his due, you know, if you are a business and you've been operating with a certain number, certain margin, you know, based on how much you're paying your employees, that you're gonna have to recalculate it. If you're gonna have to hire, if you give a bonus for people to come in and work, or you know, give out more money. And he's right, like those wages are sticky. And so those prices, those wages will keep going up. So it will add to sort of the pain of employers, but employers generally will pass those on. Typically, historically, they pass those on to the consumers. And I think it's important to also remember that consumers, you know, the average family of four, you know, two working class people with two kids, got over $11,000 last year in stimulus money, in direct payments. And yes, there's perhaps people lost their jobs, but most people kept their jobs. So there is like some money out there. You look at the savings rate, it's much higher than it was before. So hopefully consumers will be able to eat those costs, no pun intended. And then, so when it comes time to sort of like inflation in general, I just don't think that, basically, wage growth as an issue was a huge problem over the past 10 to 12 years. If wages weren't growing as much as they needed to, they were barely keeping up with inflation then. So I think a lot of people are not going to be too pessimistic if they're seeing more money in their pocket. So I guess that's when it comes to be able to find workers, that is a problem right now. A lot of, you know, there. A lot of economists are saying that the increased unemployment benefits is causing some of that. Not having schools open or camps open is also causing a little bit of it. But again, those types of issues will work themselves out as we reopen, and hopefully people can take those higher wages and save more of them.
Let's go back to our callers now. Stella is with us in Sturgeon Bay. Stella, hello.
Hi. Excuse me. I have a question. It has just really bothered me when I keep hearing that there's almost no inflation or zero inflation, because over the last number of years, I have been noticing that the Kleenex boxes that we used to buy with a 300 count are now down to 190 count, and it's the same price. And cases of food like tomato sauce that we bought for 12 quarts in a case are now down to 10, sometimes 8 or 6 per case. And sometimes the quart has shrunk down to 20 ounces, same price.
Gotcha, Stella. Okay. Thanks for the call. So kind of a stealth inflation. It looks like the price has stayed the same. The amount you're getting is less. So per unit, a hidden inflation that can hit us at the grocery store. What do you think, Taylor?
So I think that's a very, very good question. I think people need to be discerning when they buy. I mean, it's tough for me to sort of know the particulars of her case, but you can, you know, replace things that you bought for cheaper alternatives. You can use, you know, certain credit cards give you cash back when you extra cash back when you shop at the grocery store. So I think there's sort of ways around that where you sort of substitute what you bought for something else in order to keep your sort of budget the same. But to her question, like there isn't no inflation. They want inflation to rise by 2% each year. The hope is that it sort of keeps up with your wages.
Thanks for the call, Stella. I want to take some time with a little practical advice, Taylor, which you've written about. Let's talk about somebody who's looking to save for something big, like maybe a college education for a kid or maybe for retirement. What does inflation mean for them? Do they need to do anything different because of it?
So if you're saving for the long term, no, I don't think there's anything you need to do differently necessarily. Maybe whenever you sort of hear this noise, if you increase your savings, that would be a good thing to do. Actually, one thing that does pop into mind. So if we were talking about these raises, you know, Senator Johnson talked about that. A lot of people, the sort of rule of thumb has been to save 10 to 15% of your income to put it to your 401k, including any match. I think people should think about this a little. I've written that, you know, it's a standard rule of thumb. But I think people should start thinking about it a little differently, especially as wages rise. And instead, think about saving half of any raise you get. So rather than thinking about 10 or 15% of your income, save half of any raise. So if you go from, you know, 40,000 to 70,000 in, you know, over the course of your career, you're saving $15,000 a year towards your 401k. That will get you to a higher savings rate actually than the 15%. And it will sort of lower your standard of living so that it will make it easier to replace your income once you retire. So when people get these higher end raises that Senator Johnson's talking about, save more of them would be my advice, which is obviously not particularly pleasant to hear, but you know, I wish I could do something else for people.
Taylor, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It was so much fun.
That was Taylor Tepper, senior financial analyst for Forbes Advisor. He's a personal finance journalist who's covered a range of financial topics in the New York Times, Newsweek, Fortune, and elsewhere. We talked to him today about inflation and what it means for you. Coming up after the news, it turns out that losing our day-to-day routines can have an impact on our ability to remember things. A Wisconsin researcher tells us why the pandemic has disrupted memory for a lot of people. And if you have a story to share, if this has been a part of your daily life over the last year, we'd love to hear from you. You can get started right now. Email ideas@WPR.org or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up tomorrow at 7:30 on The Morning Show, it's been a rough year for healthcare workers in Wisconsin and around the country. So who's taking care of their mental health? Find out how healthcare workers have been coping during the pandemic and about efforts to help them out. That's tomorrow morning at 7:30 here on the Ideas Network. Now, if you've had some out-of-character instances of forgetting important dates like birthdays, maybe, or forgetting things you needed at the grocery store over the last year, well, good news. It's not just you. Turns out the pandemic could be impacting our ability to recall and remember things. But hey, it's probably just temporary. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you noticed any lapses of memory in the last year in your own life? Have you found it difficult to remember all the things you needed at the grocery store or when you walked down to the basement? What's your experience with memory been like in the last year? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Haley Vlock is an associate professor of educational psychology at UW-Madison. She's an expert on children's learning and development and memory development. Haley, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Excited to be here.
When did you first start to realize that our memory could be impacted, interfered with by the pandemic?
Well, definitely through personal experience. Mm. as somebody who studies memory, am experiencing the very things that I study. And I think it became very clear to researchers early on in the pandemic that the pandemic would be a perfect storm for people experiencing much more forgetting than they did pre-pandemic.
And to be clear, we're not talking about people who catch the disease and it affecting their memory. It's just living in this state of the pandemic world, right? That's having this impact.
Yeah, it turns out that the pandemic has been a perfect storm for speeding up the rate at which we forget everyday information, regardless of other health factors. Researchers have, for a long, long time now, studied what makes us remember things, what makes us forget things. And if you were to create a list of all the factors that accelerate forgetting and all the factors of things we've experienced during the pandemic, they're pretty much the same list. So if you have been experiencing sort of day-to-day memory things or long-term memory changes, so has everybody.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some of those factors. I mean, one of the most obvious thing about the pandemic for many people is it disrupted our daily routines, whether that meant working at home or losing a job, learning at home, so many ways that our routines have been affected. How big a factor can that be in our ability to remember stuff?
Huge. So our routines are the foundation for what to remember when. And so when we take away those cues from our daily routines, we no longer are prompted by our day to remember what we need to remember. And many of us try to create a new routine during the pandemic, and that also takes a lot of cognitive effort, which can slow down your rate at remembering important information as well. So certainly losing the routine and creating new routines accelerated forgetting for most folks.
Is this short-term memory, long-term memory, if those are different things? I mean, I'm the guy who can go to the basement to do two things, get distracted by a third thing and forget both of them. That's like a short-term thing. This could also be about, you know, I read something in a book today and I'm less likely to remember it a year from now. Is there a distinction in how the pandemic has affected those two kinds of things?
Well, on face value, you might say, well, definitely yes, if from personal experience. And I think researchers are starting to reveal that it's affected both short and long-term memory. And for the short-term memory, that's often the most troublesome because you need the information now to do whatever you're doing. But in terms of thinking back to longer periods of time, so for instance, a year ago from today, it also might be hard to recall what you were doing. So take a moment to do that right now. What were you doing on May 27th a year ago? You probably won't be able to recall. And there's many, many reasons for that. One is that what May 27th looked like was probably very similar to all the days in May. You know, being in social isolation, having a very sort of isolated routine, a lack of novelty, those experiences make everything seem the same. And it's really hard to distinguish among all your different memories if they overlap that much.
We're talking about memory and how the pandemic affected our memory, often for the worse. We have Haley Vlock with us from UW-Madison, Associate Professor of Educational Psychology. She studies memory. You can join in with your experiences or questions at 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Dennis is with us in Two Rivers. Dennis, hello.
Hi. It just seems that with the pandemic, we're feeling threatened and feeling the threat. Other things just seem to have a lower priority, so we just kind of put things aside that don't feel so severe.
Oh, interesting, Dennis. Thanks for the call. So threats, so maybe some fear, some anxiety rolled in there. Haley, is this part of the story?
That's very insightful, Dennis, because yes, that is one of the ways that our brains think, is they prioritize information that's important right now and sort of lets go of information that is less important. And this is adaptive. We want our brain to prioritize what is important. And that might be something like your new routine or your this moment today rather than a year ago. And while that may seem bad because you're forgetting things you used to remember, it's actually good because we're prioritizing the here and the now.
Dennis, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Let's go to Kay with us now in Madison. Kay, hi.
Hi. during the pandemic, I've been not driving as much and staying home. And sometimes when I have a place to go, I'm thinking to myself, now, how do I get there? What exit do I take? And as soon as I get in the car, it all comes back.
Interesting. So are these places you've been to a lot? You've driven to a lot, Kay, or
right.
just once or twice right. in the past?
Right, that I've been to a lot.
Uh-huh.
But like I say, once I get in the car, it all comes back to me. But when I'm sitting here in my living room trying to remember which way to take, I can't remember which exit.
Okay, thank you so much. And that speaks to me, Haley. As a musician, I often have the moment of if I try to think about how I play a particular song I haven't played in a while, it's all over. If I just let muscle memory take over, no problem. I know it sounds like that's what's happening with Kay with driving.
Yeah. So Kay's experience rings true for a lot of us that have started to get back to our new normal and start to establish a routine where we go to work or we do the daily things that we used to do. And many folks are feeling sort of this flood of memories coming back or these light bulb moments like, oh yeah, this is how I do this thing or perform this task. And we should expect that most of us will have some sort of feeling like that when we go back to a context that we haven't been to in a long time, like the car for Kay. For many of us, that will be the office or wherever we work. We will experience these memories coming back. And that's a good thing. Many folks have asked me, oh no, am I ever going to get these memories back? And the answer is yes, they will come back when you re-enter those contexts and get into those old routines.
Thanks a lot for that call. And it sounds like, Haley, from reading some things you've done in the past, there is a lot of good news like that. A lot of the kind of memory problems we're having here are temporary. And as we get back to whatever normal is, our memories are going to bounce back. Do I have that right?
Yes, there is good news. So, what Kay's been experiencing is going to happen to a lot of us where we are going to go back to our routines and our workplaces and wherever we used to go, and the memories will come back. And that's good because those memories are important to function well in those contexts. We want to know where we're going when we're driving or what we're supposed to do when we're at our job. Another silver lining is that, well, we've forgotten a lot about the pandemic, but there's probably a lot of things we do want to forget that happened during the pandemic. For a lot of us, we've been isolated, stressed, experiencing more negative emotions than we have at other stages of our life. And do we really want to dwell in those memories? Probably not for most of us. And so the brain is really adaptive. It knows that. And so what it will do is it will forget those memories to a faster degree than other things that happened to the pandemic. And that's really great moving forward. It's going to allow us to move past this stage in our lives psychologically.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Haley Vlock, Associate Professor of Educational Psychology at UW-Madison. We're finding out how the pandemic has impacted memory, and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Have you noticed changes in your ability to remember or retain information over the last year? Little forgetful moments, or feels like it's hard to retain information that you need for your job, for your schooling, whatever it might be? Do you have a question about your memory during the pandemic? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Haley Vlock, Associate Professor of Educational Psychology at UW-Madison and an expert on memory development. We're talking about memory and how it took a hit during the pandemic for many people. You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Have you noticed a change in your ability to remember or recall over the last year? Have you felt more forgetful than usual? Day to day, big stuff, little stuff? Love to hear your experience. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Haley, I want to ask about one specific group of people here, kids in school learning online instead of at school. Obviously, a big change in routine here. I imagine this is going to be studied for years, maybe decades to come. What kind of thoughts do you have on how that change might have affected their ability to maybe remember that lesson for the next quiz coming up?
Yes, many researchers are actively studying kids' experiences right now. And if we extrapolate from research on memory before the pandemic, we should expect to see that when kids go back to school full time now and in the fall, that there are going to be some memory gaps in what they learned online and what they learned in school. And the reason for that is what we were talking about earlier. It's a huge context change. And the cues at school to remember certain things are going to be different than the cues that they have at home or when they're sitting in front of their computers. And so I think it's going to take teachers some patience and some extra support to really get kids back into what they remembered from their previous time in school.
I wonder if there are lessons we can learn, especially with that whole change of routine thing, because at some point in our lives, we'll all probably change our routines, a change in job status, retirement, say, moving to a new place, whatever. Are there ways we can be aware that this change of routine is going to shake up our memory and that we can try to overcome that?
Great question. A lot of people ask me, well, what can I do? I want to improve my memory, or at least I want to get some practice before I get into my new routine. And a lot of the advice is very intuitive. So research has shown that getting outside, exercising, and socializing are great ways to improve our memories. And that's becoming, certainly socializing is becoming more and more real for people that are fully vaccinated. So I would encourage you to start doing that now, especially before you go to contexts that might be a little more socially awkward or socially scripted, like the workplace. It's good to get some practice with your friends before you go back to work. Another thing that you can do is start practicing creating new memories. Do new things. We've been stuck inside in a very sort of structured routine that doesn't allow for a lot of novelty in our lives. So if you get back out there and try new things and do new things, that's going to be great practice for creating new memories that are durable.
Go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Beth is with us in Green Bay. Beth, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Beth?
Well, I just wanted to mention that over the pandemic, that I've been really, really distracted. My memory has gotten so bad that I had taken in my mom over the pandemic, who has dementia, and I've noticed that I'm doing some of the same things that she's doing, like putting in different words for certain things, just so all over the place. And I'm hoping it's just because of the pandemic and not that it's really dementia.
Well, and Beth, I mean, there's the pandemic and you've had this big change with taking your mom and caring for your mom. I imagine, I don't want to put words in your mouth, I imagine this is a stressful year for you.
It has been, yeah, very stressful.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you're willing to call in and share your story, and best to you. So there, Beth, having, Haley, the perfect storm of the pandemic and a change in routine, only more so with taking in her mom with dementia. This, I don't know, sounds like it could shake up memory to me, Haley. We can't diagnose her, of course, but what do you think?
Right. I think this is actually an experience and a pattern of thinking that a lot of us have had. It's like, well, are these memory blips or these moments of forgetting symbolic of something going wrong rather than just the circumstance that we're all living in? In other words, a lot of people are concerned, like, do I need help? And what I would encourage you to do is, if you're experiencing, you know, forgetting of sort of day-to-day things, but it doesn't seem like it's largely impacting your life, wait until you get back into your new normal and see if things come back. I bet they do. It will take a while. It won't be instantaneous. Overall, there might be some moments of instantaneous memory recovery, but it's going to take some practice. If after you've gotten back into your new routine, you're still feeling like you're forgetting more than you should, that's the time when you want to go see somebody. Now, certainly, if you are experiencing memory loss that you feel like is affecting your life in especially negative ways, you should go see someone now. But for most people, we should expect that things will improve once our pandemic days are behind us.
Beth, thanks again for calling in. I appreciate it. Haley, if things like stress and anxiety can hurt our ability to remember things, is the corollary there that if we can find ways to deal with our stress and anxiety, that's going to help our memory bounce back?
Absolutely. That's why the advice that I gave earlier, you know, get outside, exercise, spend some time with friends or positive people. Those are all things that reduce stress. There is a very strong relationship between stress and memory. And so if you can find ways to reduce stress, you'll probably improve your memory.
We're talking to Haley Vlock, Associate Professor of Educational Psychology at UW-Madison. She's an expert on children's learning and development and on memory development. We're talking about ways that the pandemic has affected our memory in ways big and small. You could still join in at 800-642-1234 or post over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Haley, do you think there's just some measure of relief here when people hear that it's maybe not just them, that lots of other people are experiencing similar memory issues during the pandemic?
Yeah. You know, when I've chatted with my friends and family, you know, they come to me for an expert opinion, but also just a close friend or family member opinion. And we've all been in it together. I do think that, you know, you can observe your own behavior, own thoughts and emotions and worry that something's gone wrong. But when you hear that, hey, we're all in this together, it's comforting and it gives you confirmation that the experience is because of the context that we're in at this point in history, not because of something internal and specific to you.
Now, memory, to me anyway, I'll say, can be kind of a mysterious thing. Big picture, even outside of a pandemic, what are some of the frontiers that we're still trying to understand about how our memory works or does not work?
Yeah, great question. Even though we've been studying memory for a long time and we've figured some things out, there are still scientific mysteries in forgetting. So for instance, why do we forget? We know we do forget. It's pretty predictable, but we don't know why. There are some big ideas out there, but we're still trying to figure out the why of forgetting. So in other words, we know it happens. We know how it happens, but we just don't know why.
Interesting. How do we figure that out?
Well, it turns out to be really difficult because there's been great minds that have been thinking about this both philosophically and scientifically for thousands of years now. And one of the reasons that it's difficult to figure it out is because, you know, forgetting might be a property of the physical world. In other words, when information goes into our brain, it might be our biology that causes it to happen rather than something psychological. And by biological, I mean something really lower level, like how does electricity travel across neurons? And, you know, we just don't have the technology to isolate that lower level process and also globally understand the way the universe works and to sort of put those two things together and figure out the puzzle of forgetting.
Getting back to the pandemic and memory, difficulties with memory, when do you see us getting back to normal for the people who have had this pandemic related memory blip going on over the last year or so?
Great question. That's all going to depend on how quick you're back into your new routine, your post-pandemic life. So some of us have jumped in sooner rather than later, and we might already feel like it's pretty much back to normal. But for those of us that are still in isolation and haven't really created that new life yet, that's going to take some time. And so we should expect that there's going to be variance across individuals in when memory comes back.
Haley, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Haley Vlock is an associate professor of educational psychology at UW-Madison. She's an expert on children's learning and development and on memory development. And she joins us today to talk about ways that the pandemic could be impacting your memory. You could still share your thoughts, maybe your experiences, over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, a state lawmaker says electric vehicle manufacturers should be able to sell directly to consumers without an independent dealership in the mix. He'll share a proposed change to state law. And it's this week's edition of Food Friday. We're going to help you win friends with salad. Get some great salad ideas from the basics to some new twists. That and more coming up tomorrow here on Central Time. Well, no one told us it was going to be this way, but the cast of Friends is back together for a reunion special 17 years or so after the long-running sitcom wrapped up. It airs on a streaming channel I don't have, so I'm probably not going to catch it myself. It brings the six stars back together as themselves, not as their characters, to, I guess, reminisce and look back on the show. I'm guessing there's also some money involved. Don't quote me on that, though. It got me wondering, are there shows where people would want to see a reunion episode? In character or out. You can share yours, a TV show where you'd like to catch up with those familiar old characters and or the actors who portrayed them. Share your selections. Email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at @CentralTimeWPR. I asked around with some Ideas Network staff. Jana Rose Schleiss suggested Cheers for a reunion. She says she'd like to see more of Vera, Norm's often talked about but little seen wife. And she says Carla's grown children could provide some new characters. I'd be interested in seeing what Cliff Clavin is up to in the era of the internet. Jennifer Dargan suggested 6 Feet Under for a reunion. J. Carlisle Larson throws Star Trek Deep Space Nine into the mix. Me, I don't know, maybe some of those shows that are canceled too soon, of Veronica Mars or Firefly or something. No shows with vampires, though, because the actors age and the vampires can't age. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network. Yeah. We'll